ahead and grab your Trinity Psalter hymnal and turn to page 969. This is where we will find our confession of faith this morning. As we walk through this shorter catechism of the Westminster, we arrive this morning on number 23. I will ask the question, and we will respond together with the answer. I'll wait for a couple thumbs up, make sure everybody's there. Page 969, question 23. What offices doth Christ execute as our Redeemer?
Christ is our Redeemer.
This morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 8, so go ahead and grab your Bibles or your pew Bible in front of you. You can turn to page 865 if you choose to do that. And we're going to focus on verses 4 to 18, and we're going to see here, this is the parable of the sower. We see it here in Luke chapter 8, and Mark 4, and in Matthew 13. Nike has a slogan. Just do it. It was coined in 1988, and it serves to be a powerful and iconic message to remind people to take action. And that's the emphasis of our text today. It's to focus on the doers and not the hearers only. Verses 1 through 3 serve kind of as the introduction to the entire rest of the chapter, setting up the stage, if you will, for the parable of the sower. And it reads this way. Soon afterward, he went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. You see, these women are those who heard the gospel proclaimed, and then they did something about it. They recognized Christ and the 12 needed provisions to continue to provide the kingdom message. And so they form this women's guild, if you will, to aid Christ in his mission that all people would come to know him. It's amazing how Luke over and over again continues to highlight the value of women here in ministry. You see, these women could have simply followed Christ around like the crowds that we hear about today and listened to what he has to say. And yet what they did instead was they just do it. They just respond. They are a doer for Christ. And our text today, through the parable of the sower, encourages all of us to be like these women, that we be both a hearer and a doer of the word. Let us first pray, and then we'll read verses 4 to 18 together. Lord God, today, we come before you, and we do ask that you would do a miracle in our hearts, that you would prepare the soils of our souls, that we would be ready to receive the word of God as implanted by Jesus Christ, whom we worship this day. Would you cause all of us to be those who do that which you require, that we would sow seeds of the kingdom in others. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 18 reads this way. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock. And as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and with it and choked it. And some fell among good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are told in parables so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. And as for those that fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and to one who has not, even that which he thinks he has will be taken away. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Amen. I love a good riddle. I looked up a couple riddles recently. So if you know the answer, shout it out. What has holes, what is full of holes, but still holds water? A sponge. Here's another one. What food has to be broken before you can use it? An egg. What has many keys but cannot unlock any doors? A piano. I love a good riddle. Here's another one. It's a little harder. If I have it, I don't share it. If I share it, I don't have it. What is it? Well, our text answers this riddle. You see, parables are kind of like riddles. In each one, there's a deeper meaning hidden within. We saw one last week, right, with a certain money lender who had two debtors, one who owed 500 denarii, one who owned 50, and then the money lender canceled the debt of both. Who of the canceled debts loved the money lender more? It was the one who had the greater debt forgiven. But the parable of the sower is more than just getting the answer. See, the parable itself has meaning. See, the answer of Christ's parable, coupled with why it was told in parabolic form, teaches us something about hearers and doers of the word. By presenting this parable and the meaning it was contained within, Jesus is contrasting two different types of people in the crowd. Those who have ears but do not hear, they will continue in unbelief. And those who have ears and they do hear, they will respond with faith. Our call to obedience this morning elaborated on those two distinctions, those who hear only and those who hear and obey. I'll remind you of it once again. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For when he looks at himself and goes away, at once he forgets what he's like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. And his call, James's call, to become doers of the word and not hearers only, is mirrored in our text this morning in two ways. First, that there is judgment for those who are hearers but not doers. And second, there is grace for those who are hearers and doers. First, we see the judgment and the answer to the parable. There is this great crowd of people gathering to listen to Christ as he's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And he knows that not all who are there will receive it with faith. There's these mixed motives for gathering. As we've already seen in Luke earlier, many of these crowds were formed because they wanted to be healed. Or they wanted to see this miraculous miracle come out of Jesus, or they thought he was just a good prophet. So he tells them a parable of someone who went out to sow seed. Now, for the farmers in the room, you may think this is a bad farmer. This past week, Peter got to ride on the tractor with Austin, and he got to sow acres of seed on good soil. Farmers want to ensure that they're not sowing on these paths or these rocks or among thorns. They prep the soil so that it would take. And so there's this judgment that is articulated in the first three places in which the seed falls: the path, the rocks, and the thorns. The path, as we see, are those who are unresponsive. They have unresponsive hearts. Now, we're not told why, but they treated the word with such frivolity that they are seen to be cooperating, so to speak, with the devil himself in verse 12. This echoes the sentiments of God speaking to Ezekiel when he's proclaiming the kingdom of God among the nation. He says, "You are to them a lovely song, sung with a beautiful voice and played well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they refuse to practice them." They are those who sown on the path. Then there are those who are among the rock. These are the superficial hearts. There's no deep-seated conviction. They receive the word with joy initially, but they have no root, no foundation. And so when the testing and trials of this life come in, they fall away. Friends, one of the greatest evidences of those who are truly of the faithful is that they endure trials and suffering. How many of us have seen men, women, children who have endured a trial, who have been given a test, and yet have not continued in faith? They have fallen away. They are those who are superficial in their hearts. God is only good if only good happens to them. Then there are those who are sown among the thorns. These are the entangled hearts, those who are devoted to other things. They hear the word of God, but they are gradually choked by three worldly things that prohibit their maturity in faith. First is the cares, things that they love of this world, worries perhaps that eat away at them little by little. Riches, wealth, prosperity. We hear that the rich young ruler in Luke 18, God says how difficult it is for those who have faith to enter the kingdom of God. And then the third is the pleasures of this life, the lovers of the world, the overindulgers in comfort or in entertainment. We see a man who is like this, Demas, Paul says, has deserted him because he fell in love with the present world. Those who are among the thorns perhaps may look like us, act like us, but their true devotion is shown in their deepest love, which is this world. Like a destructive parasite, little by little, that destroys its host, these thorns slowly choke the souls of those who initially welcome the word of God so that they never grow up into everlasting life. Notice also the judgment in that the amount of bad soil is more than the amount of good soil. Those who do not produce the fruit of becoming a doer outnumbers the good soil 3-1. 75% of the groups who hear the word of God receive judgment for their unbelief. And this teaches us that many will be judged and few will be chosen. Jesus affirms this when he says, "The gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter it are many, but the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to eternal life, and those who find it are few." Notice the setting. Jesus is speaking to this large crowd, and then he gathers just 12 of them, his disciples, and says, "To you it has been given, the kingdom. Many will be judged, few will be saved." In Romans 11:5, there is this phrase that a remnant will be chosen by grace. And this concept of a remnant is deeply saturated in the Old Testament, where God preserves a small but faithful group of individuals despite his judgment against Israel or the unfaithfulness of Israel. God selects a few to spare for his judgment. To others who will be judged, they are told in parables. Look at verse, what verse is that? It's verse 10, I think. Yeah, verse 10. Look there now. To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom, but to others they are told in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. This is a quote of Isaiah chapter 6. He speaks in parables to the majority so that, in order that, they may not be saved. Is that fair? William Hendricks says this: it is God's sovereign will to remove what man is unwilling to improve, to darken the heart that refuses to hearken. He hardens those who have hardened themselves. Calvin agrees, and he says, the crowd must endure the blame for their own blindness and hardness. And tonight, when we hear from Exodus chapter 20, we will see that the Lord hardens again the heart of Pharaoh. Why? Because he has already hardened himself. And it was the sovereign will of God to do so in order that his judgment would be made known to the nations and his grace to Israel would be made known to the world. He hardens those who harden themselves. You see, unlike the farmers of today who go through great lengths to ensure the condition of the soil is the best possibility for seed growth, friends, we cannot change the quality of our hearts. It's really easy to take pride here and be like, well, I'm among the good soil. Friends, you didn't do anything about that. It is the gardener, it is the farmer who prepares the soils, who prepares our hearts in order that it would grow. Ezekiel has this beautiful gospel promise that God will remove our heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He will take away all of the bad soils. He will remove the thorns. He will break up the rocks and he will loosen the path in order that you would grow, and he would implant in you good soil in order that you would produce fruit. Notice that the disciples are indistinguishable among the crowd. He tells this parable to the crowd and the disciples are like, I don't get it either. And so what does God do? He graciously explains it to them. Notice that? It is nothing special in and of the disciples themselves. It is the very act of God in choosing the 12 in order to disclose the secrets of the kingdom. Christ had to explain it to you. It has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom. And that is a grace, friends. There's no room for pride. We must humble ourselves and thank God if we have been given hearts of good soil to receive the word of God with faith. And that's what this parable does also. It is a proclamation of grace. And we see the grace in the meaning. There's the good soil in verse 15 who hear the word of God, hold it fast with an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. And so the purpose of the passage, as we already said, is to be hearers and doers of the word. And so what is he calling us to do here? He's calling us to do two things. One, to cling to it first, hold fast, right? And the second is to bear fruit, to cling to it and to bear fruit. A doer is one who clings to the word. I remember when I was rock climbing with one of my friends, his name was Spencer, and he was newer to belaying. If you know anything about rock climbing, belaying is the device that goes in the carabiner that's on the front of your harness, and the rope goes up to the top, and the climber's on the wall. And as the climber comes, the top rope becomes slack, and you reduce the slack by taking up slack, and so that if they fall, you have your hold on the bottom rope, and the top rope creates a pinch point in your harness so that the climber won't fall. Now, he's newer And I was a little ambitious to teach him to do this quickly. And so what did I do? I scaled the wall too quick. I was going up fast, and I came up to a dyno, which is a portion of the wall where you actually have to jump to the next hold. And I failed to execute it, so I fell. But what I realized is I was going too fast, and the top rope was too slack, and Spencer couldn't keep up with me. And so when I fell, all that slack came, and I came down. And Spencer, thank God he is a strong man, instinctually let go of the bottom rope and grabbed the top rope. He's like, I'm not letting you fall. And I remember I came down a little bit, and I'm looking down at him, and I see him holding the top rope, and I go, oh boy. He quickly got down, he lowered me, and what I saw on his hands were these deep rope burns that came through his hands into his arms as the rope ripped through his arms, but he was still held tightly that I'd be saved from falling to the ground. I was like, Spencer, I'm so sorry. I was going that fast. And he just said, Curtis, I'm just glad I didn't let you fall. Friends, that is how we ought to cling to the Word of God. That nothing, no matter how painful it may be, would strip it from us. Matthew Henry says, we ought to take heed of the things that will hinder our profiting by the word for what we hear. We ought to take heed lest we hear carelessly, slightlessly, lest we entertain the prejudices of the words. And we ought to take heed in our spirits that we have heard the word, lest we lose that which we have gained, that we cling to it. Friends, everything in the word, in the world today is telling us to let go of the word, to release it, to not see this as authoritative, to say that this shouldn't judge your life, but this should judge your life. Friends, the heart is deceitful above all things. The word of God is the only thing that is true in this world. Let us cling to the word. We have this reminder, this encouragement from Deuteronomy. Just after they remind them of the Ten Commandments, he says, these commandments I give you today are to be impressed on your heart. Teach them diligently to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk the road and when you lie down and when you get up. That's how you cling to the word, friends. For the parents here in the room, may the faith of our young children not be squandered because we failed to do that. That we failed to teach them diligently. That we failed to talk about them when we're sitting at home and we're walking down the road and when we're lying down and when we get up, that the word would be saturated in our homes. Would not our little children fail to come to faith because you did not cling to it? Cling to the word. This is how you were a doer. And a doer of the word will also bear fruit. Jesus, you'll notice, switches the analogy of a good soil to a lamp. You see that in verses 16 to 18. See, a lamp is put on a lampstand in order that all who enter the house would benefit from its light. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew says, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before others so that they may what? See your good works and give glory to God who is in heaven. The purpose for which we have been set on this lampstand is ordered to provide light to the nations because the nations are dark. That's how we bear fruit. Likewise, the seed that takes root in good soil must grow so that others would benefit from the fruit that is produced. As a dandelion, which is plaguing my yard today, grows up and casts its seed far and wide in hopes, just maybe I might reproduce, so too the Christian ought to take every effort to position our lives to model the work of the sower. In every facet of our being, we are called to share the gospel with those we meet. In the early years of World War II, in Nazi Germany invaded Estonia. And so an Estonian national named Arpad joined forces to fight against the Germans. And after some months, he was captured and put in the prison of Tallinn, which is the capital of Estonia. And a Russian soldier who had parachuted behind German enemy lines joined Arpad in his cell. And this Russian soldier was sentenced to death for spying. And as he was going to be executed, the Russian man gave Arpad a Bible. And Arpad had nothing to do in prison, so he read the word of God, and thanks be to him that the seed fell on good soil. And Arpad believed. Arpad was eventually released and continued to fight against the Nazis throughout the war. And afterward, he had an opportunity to go west, to begin a new life, to start over. Instead, he became a pastor. And he was active in the underground Bible printing and smuggling operations throughout the Soviet Union. Instead of living for the pleasures of this world, Arpad devoted himself to following Christ in this way. And he continued to sow the seed of God's word as it had already been sown in his own life. Beloved, this story is not out of reach for you today. Friends, I didn't come to faith until I was 19 years old. Some of you in this room are miles ahead of me, and you're much younger. Praise be to God for the young people in here who deeply love Jesus Christ. You have an opportunity, dear friend, to be a sower of the word of God vocationally, into the pastorate, into missions, perhaps into Bible printing and Bible translation, going to the unreached people groups, those who've never heard the name of Christ proclaimed. But perhaps not all of you are called to vocational ministry in this way. I'm sure that some of you are. So if you feel that inkling on your heart, come talk to me, Pastor Chris, Pastor Dave. We'd love to flesh that out with you, okay? Some of you are called to be like the Women's Guild that we heard about at the very beginning. With by your means, you are producing opportunities for others to pursue the kingdom. So whether you're a teacher, you're a construction worker, an electrician, a banker, or a farmer, you are called to bear fruit of sowing seeds of the gospel in everyone you come in contact with. This is what it means, friends, to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. A doer is one who sows the seed of the gospel in others. And so today, a question for you to ponder on is this: if I'm not sowing the seed, has the seed fallen on good soil? You see, friends, the beauty of the gospel is that it's so beautiful, those who truly have received it ought to treat it as beautiful, ought to treat it as special. In your life, do you talk more about golf, more about the Packers, more about the pleasures of home than you do about the gospel? What do your conversations look like in your circles at home, with your coworkers, with your friends, with your classmates? What do you talk about? That which you love, you will speak. All of us, dear friends, are called to sow seeds of the gospel in the lives in which we come in contact with. If you are not a sower, has the seed fallen on good soil? That's a warning for us. This is why verse 18 says, take care then how you hear. And this is an implication that you'll be judged with what you do with your seed. For those who do not have, that which they think they have will be taken away, but those who produce the seed will be given much more. Book of Mark and the book of Matthew says 30, 60, 100-fold. Luke here just says 100-fold. And notice it doesn't say what you hear. It doesn't say take care what you hear. It takes care how you hear, how you respond. That's the emphasis of the text. Today, how do you hear the word of God? Do you hear it with ears that reject its message? A heart that lacks endurance, with a mind that is entangled in worldly pleasures, or with a soul of response? Are you a hearer and a doer who sows the kingdom of God in others? Beautifully, our section ends as it began in verses 19 to 21. Go ahead and look there now in your Bibles. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. And he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. They just do it. You see, we don't know why the mother and brothers were seeking him. The book of Mark perhaps gives us a little insight into that mystery, because just before it says that people were claiming that he had a demon, and so maybe they were worried about that, so they're going to go see it. But here it's evident, and in places earlier in Luke, that perhaps Mary and the brothers of Jesus don't quite get it yet. They hear it, but they don't do it. And so what Jesus is saying is that the women's guild, his disciples, those who hear the gospel proclaimed and do something about it, they are his true family. To them and to all of us who have been graciously given the secret of the kingdom of God, we are called to disclose that secret to others. And we are called the family of Christ. And we know in the very beginning chapters of Acts that Mary and Jesus' brothers will eventually be doers of the word. They'll be gathered with the 12, and they'll be praying in Acts 1:14. And they'll devote their life to sharing the secret of the gospel to others. If I have it, I don't share it. If I share it, I don't have it. What is it? It's a secret. You, it has been given to know the secrets of God. Friends, today, let us lose the answer to that riddle. Let us not keep the word of God secret any longer, but let us proclaim it from the mountaintops to those who would hear it. Now, we can't control the soils on the hearts of those whom the seed of God falls, but God does. And perhaps through someone as meek and mild as you, and me, the word of God would be sown in good soil. Do not cover the gospel in a jar or put it under a bed, but place it that the light of Jesus would shine on all people, so that when they come in contact with you, they would see the warmth of the gospel and they would enjoy the fruits of Christ in faith. May all of us be hearers and doers of his word. Let's pray. Father God, today, we do ask that you would cause us, your people, to be doers of the word, that we wouldn't be merely hearers. Would we respond in faith and love? That if we truly believe in Jesus, there is a deep call to share the gospel with those in our realms of influence. So we do ask, Lord God, that you would empower us to be sowers of the kingdom, that we wouldn't take pride that we are of the good soil. You are the divine gardener, the faithful farmer who has tilled our hard hearts and made it acceptable to receive the seed, which is the word of God. You planted, you watered, and you caused the growth. And so would we bear fruit in proclaiming the gospel message. Cause us, dear God, to not only be hearers, but be doers of the word. In your mighty name, we pray. Amen.